This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Did you know that right now, GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
More power outages planned. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Tuesday, September 8th. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
As wildfires rage in parts of California, the state's biggest utility says 22 counties should prepare for electricity being turned off to prevent new fires.
With Labor Day kicking off a stretch run to Election Day, President Trump and challenger Joe Biden both went on the offensive.
More clashes between political groups in Oregon as the state has now witnessed more than 100 days in a row of demonstrations.
And colleges debating how and when to conduct coronavirus testing on campus.
Schools have very different approaches to how they're handling who they're testing. There are dashboards that are put up around the country by schools right now to inform parents and kids and folks in the community how prevalent positive tests are on campus. But the level of testing among the schools differs very, very widely.
Doug Belkin at the Wall Street Journal on testing decisions for colleges. Three large wildfires burned in California, and a fourth was growing quickly yesterday as a weekend heat wave lingered across large portions of the western U.S. The Creek Fire, which has engulfed the Fresno area in central California and caused the emergency evacuation over the weekend of more than 200 people vacationing at a popular reservoir, was still not contained as of yesterday afternoon. Fresno Fire Battalion Chief Tony Escobedo talked about rescuing hikers and campers.
Because of the heavy smoke conditions, these helicopters, they just can't land. And they need a big footprint to land safely.
Elsewhere, Cal Fire says the Oak Fire in Mendocino County started burning early yesterday and 3 hours later had already consumed 1,000 acres. Meanwhile, Pacific Gas and Electric announced last evening that it began turning off power in high fire threat areas. The outages will impact 172,000 customers in 22 counties, mostly in the Sierra foothills. There's a concern that winds knocking down power lines could spark new wildfires. President Trump and Democratic rival Joe Biden took shots at each other as the presidential campaign entered its traditional home stretch on the Labor Day holiday. Mr. Trump described Mr. Biden, whom he trails in national polls, as a threat to the economy.
Biden presided over the worst, the weakest, and the slowest economic recovery since the Great Depression. It was a long, slow slog, and it was very small on growth and very small on every other factor that you need.
Mr. Trump plans to visit North Carolina, Florida, Michigan, and Pennsylvania later this week, all considered crucial to both campaigns. Mr. Biden, meanwhile, visited Harrisburg, Pennsylvania yesterday and had a virtual conversation with Richard Trumka, president of the powerful AFL-CIO union.
Calling those who have served, risked their lives, even gave their lives to our nation, losers and suckers. These are heroes. I'll tell you something. My beau wasn't a loser or a sucker.
Mr. Biden promised to be the strongest labor president in the history of the country. Some opinion polls, by the way, show the race tightening with 56 days until the November 3rd election. Hundreds of people gathered in a small town south of Portland for a vehicle rally in support of President Trump just a week over a Trump supporter was fatally shot. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The Cruz rally in support of the president began in the parking lot of Clackamas Community College in Oregon City yesterday morning. Several hundred people gathered. Later, about 45 minutes south of there, pro-Trump supporters and counter-protesters clashed in the capital city of Salem, where two people were arrested. Meanwhile, police arrested 15 people in Portland after protests near a police precinct overnight on Sunday. On Saturday night, police arrested more than 50 people and used tear gas to disperse protesters who threw firebombs. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. In Salem, by the way, videos on social media show right-wing protesters chasing tackling and assaulting left-wing protesters with weapons, fists, and pepper spray. Paintballs were also fired between the two groups. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. This is a special end-of-summer announcement from Dell. At our Labor Day sale, small businesses can save up to 50% on select business computers with Intel Core processors. We're committed to taking your business to the next level. Give our small business technology advisors a call. They'll identify the right tech solution for your business with Labor Day savings. Visit Dell.com/businessdeals or call us at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
When it comes to mobility, Michigan is making what the rest of the world hasn't even thought of yet. Our state is home to two world-class autonomous vehicle testing sites, and we're first in the U.S. for mobility-related patents. With over 500 miles of roadway equipped for connected vehicle testing, it's no wonder that everyone is moving to where it all started. So if you're ready to move into the future with your mobility business, see how we can help at planetm.com/pure-opportunity.
Hey, welcome into Tuesday from the campaign trail. Whoever wins in Maricopa County, Arizona, home to Phoenix, Mesa, Scottsdale, is likely to win the state overall and potentially determine control of the Senate and whether President Trump or Joe Biden wins the White House. Eliza Collins, political reporter at the Wall Street Journal, conducted some 36 interviews with voters, activists, politicians, and researchers during a recent trip. Eliza set this up.
So Maricopa County is the biggest county in Arizona. It includes Phoenix and then the surrounding suburbs. And it's where more than half of Arizona's residents live. And Arizona is a battleground state this cycle. It has a very competitive Senate race. It is very competitive at the presidential level. I mean, really what happens in Arizona could ultimately decide who wins the White House and who controls the Senate. And what happens in Arizona is likely to be determined by what happens in Maricopa County.
All right, so explain how it's turned over the past couple of cycles.
Yeah, so Maricopa County is now about a third of the electorate is Latino. And that has been a growing population over the last few decades. But in the last 10 years, the state has really transitioned from, I would say, pretty solidly red to more purple. And a large part of that is the growing Latino population and voter engagement. So in 2010, there was a very strict immigration law called SB 1070. It was nicknamed the Show Me Your Papers Law. What it did was it prompted all of this activism, and these groups came out to protest this law. And then over time, they continued their activism. So Sheriff Joe Arpaio, you may remember him. He was a total immigration hardliner in the state, Maricopa County sheriff. These groups tried to unseat him in 2012. They ultimately were successful in 2016. And then in 2018, the Senate seat flipped to a Democrat, in large part with the help of Maricopa County, especially around Phoenix. Latino voters showing up in higher numbers than they had in the past. So those were already Democratic areas where Latino voters showed up in larger numbers. And then the suburbs around Phoenix that had been pretty solidly red, getting a little bit lighter red or more of a purple.
We're speaking with Eliza Collins, political reporter at the Wall Street Journal, about her story entitled The Door-to-Door Election Battle to Swing an Arizona County. And she paid a visit to Maricopa County. So how is each campaign playing Maricopa County? Because from the anecdotes you had in your story, it seems like folks feel strongly one way or the other about President Trump. However, there doesn't seem to be a lot of enthusiasm for Mr. Biden.
Absolutely. So Latino voters tend to be a majority Democrats, but they have shown up at lower rates than the rest of the electorate, basically. And so both sides are really trying to engage Latino voters because they make up a third of the population in Maricopa County. And they could really be critical in deciding which way this election goes. But the pandemic is very complicating. And Arizona was a hotspot earlier this summer. Republicans, for the most part, have been on the ground much of the whole time, you know, with maybe some small pauses in between. The Trump campaign is out there. The Republican Party is out there. local candidates are out there. Meanwhile, the Biden campaign and the state Democratic Party are not on the ground. They're doing all virtual organizing at this moment. So there are some progressive groups, some of those activist groups that have been formed over the last decade, that have started door knocking because they're worried about that enthusiasm or lack of enthusiasm for Biden. And so they started going door to door, basically feeling like they needed to talk to voters, that virtual and phone banking was not enough.
That can't be fun going door to door in Arizona, like in mid to late summer.
Yeah, I actually went with one of these groups. It was 100 degrees, which is actually quite cool for Arizona that day. And I mean, we were wearing masks. He was wearing a face shield, a mask. He had masks in his pocket when he talked to voters at the door. If they answered and didn't have a mask, he offered one to them. He had hand sanitizer. I mean, it looked very different than the number of other times I've been door knocking with folks.
Thanks, Eliza. Eliza Collins, political reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
New wildfires ravaged bone-dry California during a scorching Labor Day weekend that saw a dramatic air shift of more than 200 people trapped by flames and ended with the state's largest utility turning off power to 172,000 customers to try to prevent its power lines from sparking more fires. Fresno Fire Battalion Chief Tony Escobedo.
Get all those folks that are still trapped up there on the Chinooks and the Blackhawks that are going to carry on this mission in a very dangerous situation at night through the smoke and the fire.
California already has set a record with 2 million acres burned this year.
Number two.
Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden and President Trump spent Labor Day diminishing each other's credentials on the economy and understanding of workers. As the presidential campaign enters its final stretch, Trump touted a coming coronavirus vaccine.
What's happening is all of a sudden you'll have this incredible vaccine, and because of that fake rhetoric. It's a political rhetoric. That's all it is, just for politics, because now they see we've done an incredible job.
Biden campaigned in Pennsylvania.
If that's how you talk about our veterans, you have no business being president of the United States of America, period.
Number three.
As lawmakers straggle back to Washington for an abbreviated pre-election session, hopes are dimming for another coronavirus relief bill. Talks between top Democrats and the Trump administration broke off last month and remain off track with the bipartisan unity that drove almost $3 trillion in COVID-19 rescue legislation into law this spring, replaced by partisanship and a return to Washington dysfunction. China today announced an initiative to establish global standards on data security, saying it wants to promote multilateralism in the area at a time when individual countries are bullying others. The announcement comes a month after the U.S. said it was purging untrusted Chinese apps. And Amazon is barring foreign sales of seeds into the U.S. after thousands of suspicious packets, many postmarked from China, arrived in households around the world this summer. The move comes as the mystery seeds led U.S. officials to raise alarms about the ease with which seed sales can occur on e-commerce sites, creating potential threats to U.S. agriculture. Amazon says it will no longer allow the import of plant or seed products.
Such a weird story. Wasn't
it is.
These random seeds being mailed out. Hey, welcome back, by the way. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hiring quality employees is a challenge, and Monica Starks could relate. She needed to hire for a pivotal role at her construction company, GS Group, but was having a tough time finding the right person, especially with so many candidates out there. So she switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. That's how Monica found Lamont Jenkins. She said that ZipRecruiter sent Lamont's profile to her around 5 minutes after she posted her job because he was a great match for the role. Through ZipRecruiter, Monica's company has hired everyone from accountants to project managers to field scientists. But Monica's not the only employer who loves ZipRecruiter. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself how ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. Try it now for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. While many universities around the nation are leaning into efforts to test wide portions of their populations and struggling to contain hundreds of cases, the University of Arkansas has limited testing almost entirely to students who complain of symptoms or are worried they've been exposed. Doug Belkin, higher education reporter at the Wall Street Journal, has a look at that strategy compared to others. Doug, explain.
That it gets messy almost instantly when the kids are on campus. Yeah, exactly right. The kids are coming into these campuses from around the state, around the country, and they're bringing, you know, their exposure and any virus they're carrying with them. And then they're going out back into the local community where the schools are from and mixing it up again. So it's just very, very difficult to maintain any kind of social distancing among a bunch of 20-year-olds who are really happy to see each other and want to, you know, give each other high fives. So, yeah. It's a challenge.
All right. So what's it like with regards to testing? I know you profiled a little bit the University of Arkansas.
Yeah. So the thing that sort of caught our eye for the story that makes it, I think, it interesting is that schools have very different approaches to how they're handling who they're testing. There are dashboards that are put up around the country by schools right now to inform parents and kids and folks in the community how prevalent positive tests are on campus. But the level of testing among the schools differs very, very widely, so the information is really sort of apples and oranges. So at the University of Arkansas, if you feel sick or if you're worried that you are around someone who may have COVID, you can go in and you can get a test, which means that over the course of a weekend, a couple hundred people tops will come in and ask to get a test, and that will generate, you know, between 10 and 20 positive COVID tests. So you've got 30,000 people who are connected to the university, working there or students there, and then their dashboard says they've got, you know, just a dozen or so, or maybe a couple of dozen people who test positive. Then down the street, you know, at different schools where they're doing something called surveillance testing, which is when they're looking, they're testing large numbers of students to get a sense of if the virus is out there and is, you know, sitting in folks and they're asymptomatic and don't know it. You're getting, you know, enormous numbers, 500-600 numbers of kids who have the coronavirus. But the difference is that in a place like Arkansas, they just don't know how widespread it is because they're not doing the surveillance testing. They're only testing symptomatic people. And there's a lot of reasons behind that, but that's sort of the tension at the center of the story.
Yeah. I just anecdotally speaking, I know a young man who says at his school, like, kids are avoiding going to the school's health offices for testing, instead going to their primary doctor and having those results sent home to the home address, not the school address. So I feel like, you know, some of this information is not even making its way to some of the students or schools.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think that probably his concern is that he'll be put in a lockdown. He may not want to be,
yeah.
But if the school gets wind that someone has a positive test, they don't want that kid out and about and spreading this stuff.
All right, thanks, Doug. Doug Belkin, higher education reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When you've been married a while, it can be hard to find a unique gift that's a real surprise, but I did, and I found it at paintyourlife.com. With paintyourlife.com, you can send any photo or combination and have them transformed by world-class artists into a professional, hand-painted portrait at a truly affordable price, all in about 3 weeks. And the process is simple. I recently chose to have a painting done of my kids. All I had to do was upload the picture, choose my preferred medium, and select the size. Took less than 5 minutes. Oh, and when I was finished, I got an immediate email with the proposed rendering, asking me to either approve or make changes. Very customer service oriented. I love that. And at paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money's refunded. Plus, right now, as a limited time offer, get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off plus free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word DEAL to 64,000. That's DEAL to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Text DEAL to 64,000.
Now, more than ever, where you get your news matters. This is America's First News, This Morning, with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday, September 8th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. 22 counties in California face deliberate power cuts as the biggest utility there tries to prevent further wildfires. The Senate is expected to discuss new coronavirus relief legislation this week. Arrests as demonstrators continue to clash in Oregon. violent weekend in Chicago. Among seven people killed by gunfire was an eight-year-old girl riding in a car. Former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen has a new book out today. And the orca, who made headlines 2 years ago for mourning her calf, has given birth again. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Great news, Dell's Labor Day sale for small business can save you up to 50% on select business computers with Intel Core processors that will give you an edge over the competition. Our small business technology advisors are ready to guide you to the right tech with the most savings. Call 877-ASK-DELL. The Mediterranean Sea, an on-again, off-again geopolitical hotspot since before the pyramids were built, is emerging anew as an area of division and instability, with powers including Russia, China, Turkey, and Israel jostling aggressively for influence, natural resources, and military advantage. Why is this happening, and how does it affect the U.S.? We're joined now by Guy Taylor, National Security Team Leader at the Washington Times. Guy, set the current scene.
I think the key thing here is that after a period of a few decades of kind of post-Cold War calm, the Mediterranean Sea, and particularly the Eastern Mediterranean, which encompasses parts of the Middle East, of course, has kind of emerged again in the past year or so as a real geopolitical hot zone with a whole range of countries, including several that aren't even in the region, such as China and especially Russia, really jockeying for influence, economic power, and especially military projection capability right in the Mediterranean and North Africa, south of Italy and in Greece, like we really haven't seen since World War II. And then the key thrust of my article in the Washington Times today is about, it zooms in on Turkey and how Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan is really a provocateur, and he's an agitator in all of this. And there are some dangerous implications that come with that, specifically because Turkey and Greece, two NATO members, are increasingly at each other's throats over who has rights to prospective natural gas finds under the Eastern Mediterranean. Remember, these are two NATO members engaged in brinkmanship over this right now. And it's hitting the alliance at its core. And this is an alliance that was set up by the U.S. to counter the former Soviet Union. And that matters right now because this fight within NATO is playing out while Western European countries like France and Germany and Great Britain struggle to make sense of it. And the Russians are actually in the midst of growing their own presence in the Mediterranean by specifically meddling in Libya, having been emboldened by their success at helping Syria's president Bashar Assad win his own civil war. The Russians have stepped in with mercenaries in Libya, and they essentially want to try to build a Russian military base there, right in the middle of the southern Mediterranean. So, you know, where does the U.S. fit into all of this, I think, is one of the big questions. And there's a lot of debate right now over the extent to which a kind of withdrawalism or a pullback that started in the Obama era, remember the pivot to Asia that was put in place by the Obama administration, and it was really carried on by Trump, who President Trump has sort of had his fist up against NATO, or not against it, but he's really tried to pressure the alliance to spend more and say, like, hey, you got to pay to take care of your own mess.
Yeah.
And also Trump's kind of withdrawal from the Syria war. Trump obviously has been praised for pulling America out of forever wars in Syria and whatnot. But what was the cost of that? And how is that withdrawalism being seized upon by actors, really authoritarian type actors like Vladimir Putin and Tayyip Erdogan, two guys
both of
that
whom
Trump
have relationships.
Kind of have close relationships with.
Yeah, I was just going to say. So there was somebody in your story, too, who said that the president's relationships with Erdogan and Putin are enabling some of this. Is that true?
Yeah, so that, you know, that's something that Trump's critics are going to pounce on and have pounced on and say, look, you know, well, he's running around sort of deal-making and doing backdoor phone calls with these potentially unsavory leaders, they're actually exploiting him. And that Tayyip Erdogan, the Turkish president, who's really a very much authoritarian type, you know, albeit democratically elected, Turkey's democracy is very shaky. And it's criticized around the world. The election, you know, the veracity of the elections is questioned, that have gone on, that have given Erdogan all this power for so long. And he's also somewhat emboldened by this idea that, well, Donald Trump likes me, and Donald Trump, in a phone call with me, decided to pull American troops back from Syria a year ago. And what message did that send? It sent a message to Turkey that, well, we can now send Turkish troops into Syria without having the Americans try to push us around, and we could also send Turkish troops, we could send Turkish Navy ships into the Mediterranean, into areas that everyone recognizes as Greek territory, and we could essentially say, you know, we're going to go ahead and explore, we're going to send oil and gas exploration ships in there and outrage the Greeks. And where are the Americans in this, sort of standing by?
Nice guy. Guy Taylor, National Security Team Leader at the Washington Times. It is 19 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. To say that 2020 has been a year of uncertainty is an understatement, right? The way we work together changed overnight. Businesses learned pretty quickly that to adapt, they need a new way to get the essential resources they need. That's how Fiverr can help. Fiverr's online marketplace connects you with freelancers for hundreds of digital services. Things like graphic design, web programming, film editing, and a lot more. And there's no guessing games. You customize your search by service, deadline, price, reviews, whatever matters to you. And you know the cost up front, no negotiating at all. Whether you're launching your first business, scaling your current business, or in need of extra support to complete a project, Fiverr's global network of on-demand freelance talent has worked with the most influential brands in the world and is here to help. Check out Fiverr.com and receive 10% off your first order by using my code Gordon. Find all the digital services you need in one place at Fiverr.com. Code Gordon. Again, that's Fiverr.com and code Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. It's time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know it's easier than ever to forge official documents, but a license plate is a trickier proposition, as one Kentucky man found out. The Millersburg Police Department posted pics on Facebook of a DIY license plate made by a man who was pulled over. Now, from a distance, the homemade license plate looked somewhat like the real deal. Although marker strokes are visible, its numbers and letters are pretty well drawn and resemble the state plate. But, like many forgeries, it was missing one key detail, in this case the registration sticker. After further investigation, police determined that the vehicle driver had no insurance and was driving with a suspended license.
We did all the hard work.
Yeah.
And forgot the sticker.
I don't know how you do that, right?
Of all things.
You spend a couple hours, probably, at least.
At least.
Doing this, you know, with far greater art skills than I've ever had in my life, and made it look actually pretty decent looking, except for the little marker strokes that they say.
Right.
You could kind of tell it was, you know, when you get real close, you could tell it was a Sharpie. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, how do you miss that part before you go throw it up on your car?
And again, probably the easiest thing to do.
Yes.
Just on a printer, properly measured out.
Right.
Some tape thrown on top of the license plate to put this registration sticker in place.
I guess at some point you're just like, ugh, you know, I want to go watch Netflix or something, right? You've been doing this for 3 hours and over it at that point. And you may have had your memory jogged by Facebook recently with pics and videos from the viral Ice Bucket Challenge a few years back. Now, for those of us who took the challenge, including the two people in this room, we remember the shock to the system after being doused with ice and water for just a few seconds. Imagine then spending 2.5 hours up to your neck in ice. That's what one Austrian man did over the weekend and setting a world record. Joseph Koberl made it 2 hours, 30 minutes, and 57 seconds inside a glass box filled to his shoulders with ice cubes and wearing only swim trunks, besting the previous record by 30 minutes. More than 440 pounds of ice were needed to fill the box. Koberl told reporters that he fought off a wave of pain caused by freezing temperatures by focusing on positive emotions. This, as you can imagine, is not the first time he's done something like this. The record he broke for longest time in ice was his own, set last year. As he was lifted from the box by helpers, Koberl said that the sun felt really great on his back.
Jeez. At what point does it, like, hyperthermia set
in? I think he's an ice swimmer or something. Like, this is what it's like his profession almost.
Jeez.
So it's not just be this different of, you know, you and I did
sure.
something like this. He's been
sure.
doing this for a while. Because, I remember when we did the ice bucket challenge, and I remember how rough that was.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, 2 seconds of ice being doused on your head.
When we opened our pool in April, the water temperature was 49 degrees.
Yeah.
So my son and I, you know, bravely hopped in the pool at 49 degrees.
Did you?
And we had to fight each other to get out. It was so cold. You know, we're both scrambling up the ladder, you know, fighting for a position. We were in the water about 6 seconds.
Yeah.
I couldn't handle 49 degrees.
Yeah,
he's in ice.
Yeah, I think this is kind of my worst nightmare.
Wow. Thanks, Mike. This is a special end-of-summer announcement from Dell. At our Labor Day sale, small businesses can save up to 50% on select business computers with Intel Core processors. We're committed to taking your business to the next level. Give our small business technology advisors a call. They'll identify the right tech solution for your business with Labor Day savings. Visit Dell.com/businessdeals or call us at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference. Like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help, offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for being with us. You've probably heard all about how you should renegotiate your bills to save money, right? NerdWallet has advice about formulating a game plan. It's a good idea to call up your service providers annually to negotiate a better rate or ask about new promotions or maybe cancel unnecessary bills. These tactics can be used for securing a better deal, say on cable, internet, subscription services, and more. First, review all your recurring payments by identifying charges on your credit card and bank account. Then decide if you really want or need those anymore. Make a list of the bills you'd like to lower or cut out entirely. Then look up each company's website. You'll usually find a variety of contact methods, including live chat, text messaging, email, phone number. While you're searching, gather info about your current package and pricing, as well as any new promotions from your current company or competitors that can be used as leverage. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
PG&E is cutting power in parts of Northern California to reduce wildfire risks a day after the state averted rolling blackouts to relieve strain on its electric grid during a heat wave. The outages are affecting about 172,000 customers in 22 counties stretching from wine country to the Sierra foothills. The decision based on forecasts of severely dry conditions and gusty winds that create critical fire weather with high ignition risk.
Number two.
President Trump and Democratic rival Joe Biden took swipes at each other yesterday as the presidential campaign enters the home stretch. Trump described Biden as a threat to the economy and stupid.
Biden presided over the worst, the weakest, and the slowest economic recovery since the Great Depression. It was a long, slow slog, and it was a very small on growth and very small on every other factor that you need.
Biden campaigned in Pennsylvania.
He lives by a code of lies, greed, and selfishness.
Biden also took aim at Trump's reported disparaging of fallen troops.
Number three.
Spending cuts to schools, childhood vaccinations and job training programs, new taxes on millionaires and cigarettes. Those are some of the actions states are considering to shore up their finances amid a sharp drop in tax revenue caused by the economic fallout from the pandemic. With Congress deadlocked for months on a new coronavirus relief package, many states can no longer wait to see when more money is on the way. Two weather depressions are intensifying into tropical storms, and forecasters are tracking multiple areas that could spin up trouble this week. Tropical storms Paulette and Renee have formed in the Atlantic, becoming the 16th and 17th named storms in a record-breaking hurricane season.
To do what I do, I need some idea of the threat we face.
As I understand it, we're trying to prevent World War III.
Movie theaters enjoyed their best few days since the pandemic shut them down as the first major film in months opened with modest box office returns. Sci-fi spy film Tenet grossed $20.2 million through the holiday weekend. Also, Disney released its live-action remake of Mulan in the U.S. to its streaming service. Disney hasn't said, though, how many viewers watched it at a cost of about $30 on top of a monthly $7 subscription fee.
A lot of tennis for you over the weekend?
Nothing but.
Jen and I swapped texts. When was that, Sunday night with Novak Djokovic?
Yeah.
We kind of inadvertently flipped that tennis ball and hit the
Doesn't
line
matter.
Judge?
It was inadvertent. Doesn't
Holy
matter.
Holy cow. Glad you're with us. Researchers have announced that the grieving killer whale who made global headlines 2 years ago for carrying her dead calf for more than 2 weeks is now a new mother. The Center for Whale Research said the endangered orca whale named Tahlequah was spotted in the eastern strait of Juan de Fuca in U.S. waters between Washington State and Vancouver Island with her new calf. On its website, researchers wrote that the new calf appeared healthy and precocious, swimming vigorously. Researchers believe the calf was likely born Friday because its dorsal fin was upright. Researchers say it takes a day or two for the dorsal fin to straighten after being bent over in the womb, so they assigned its birthday as September 4th. Tahlequah famously conducted a tour of grief in the summer of 2018, carrying her dead calf for more than 1,000 miles over 17 days. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more.